And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy Brain here on KKZZ AM 1400. We're positive talk radio for Ventura County. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deeper understanding. My first guest, who was Lisa Gansky, gave us a deeper understanding of new business models and shared resources. My second guest was the legendary Carol Channing, and she gave us a deeper understanding of why the arts are so valuable to our children's development. My next guest is a body language expert. She's here to explain things that we may be doing with our bodies that unknowingly undermine the impression others have of us. Do you know that it only takes 90 seconds for others to decide if they like us and they'll do business with us? If you want to have a good impression, you got to manage those first 90 seconds for maximum impact. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, 639-0008. My next guest, Sharon Saylor, is an MBA, and she's a communications and success strategist and a body communications expert. She trains professionals on how to become stronger, more influential communicators and leaders. She teaches people how to communicate with confidence, with clarity, matching their body language to what their mouths are actually saying. Her latest book is titled What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. Welcome to the show, Sharon. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you on. You are truly a thought leader and an authority in this area of body language. And from reading your book, I got to start here because this is the most intriguing part. There's one huge mistake that the listeners may be doing out there. They probably don't even know that they're aware that they're even doing it. And what's worse, people see you, they'll recognize what you're doing and it will put them off instantly. They won't know why, but it will put them off. What is the one mistake that most of us are making in our communications? We don't even know it.
We start by breathing too high and too fast. It makes the other person wonder, why are they breathing like that? It activates that animal part of our brain that says, my goodness, if they're breathing that fast, maybe they're in danger. And then they go, am I in danger too? So it's very simple. We just have to learn to breathe slow and the way that we're supposed to breathe with our full set of lungs.
All right. Now, what would cause us to breathe high and fast like that? It gives off the impression that we're in danger or in trouble.
You know, most often it's nerves. We just, maybe we're a little nervous about if this person is going to like me. It's a new contact. Maybe are we going to make the sale? Oftentimes in job interviews, we start breathing high and we don't even realize it, because we just want to have such a good impression that our nerves start us breathing high. And then all of a sudden we realize, gosh, we're not building rapport with this person. What's wrong? And all it takes is a simple just telling yourself, slow down, pause, take a nice deep breath, and start over.
All right. Well, now that's good practical advice. And a lot of my listeners would be interested in this. Perhaps they've got a big meeting today, or maybe they're giving a speech or possibly going out on a job interview. So what tips would you give them for relaxing? Because these are stressful situations that we're talking about. Naturally, they're going to be breathing too high and too fast. How can they get themselves to slow down and to breathe deeper?
Well, I like to first start with what I call a hand gesture that I use to remind myself. And it's a hand gesture that also says to other people that you have high confidence and high expectation in the meeting and the event that's going to happen. And there are three places you can do with your hands. The first one is just naturally down at your sides. And the second one is where you have your hands parallel to the ground, your forearms parallel to the ground, and you just lightly put your fingertips together. And what's very cool about this is that places your hands and arms right over your belly, and you can actually feel yourself breathing if you're breathing low and slow like you're supposed to be. So you can actually sort of convince yourself that every time you put your hands there, it's a reminder to breathe low and slow and comfortably.
Almost a zen-like pose, really.
It is. And you know, the cool thing, when if you watch a lot of TV news, I see this with a lot of people that are interviewing, they have their forearms parallel to the ground and just their fingertips are touching, and it makes sort of like a little steeple pose with your hands.
Right.
And what it's saying to the other people is, I'm listening very intently, and it also says, I'm an expert. So it's a great way to send those two messages.
Well, now, if you do something like that, and that's a great tip, put your arms parallel to the ground, fingertips together, that sort of puts you in a calming sort of mode. But doesn't that look forced or staged?
You know, really, it doesn't. It is so commonly seen on interviews and on television nowadays. And the other thing is, you're the only one knowing that you're doing this for a reason. The other people are just going, okay, that's just how they're putting their hands. So it really doesn't look forced or phony unless you all of a sudden are going along and then you say something like, oh, I forgot to breathe, which I've seen happen in the middle of a speech. And so it's only if we kind of give our little secret away.
Well, that's, of course, only if they don't know the secret or if they haven't read your book. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody, What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. So let me ask you, that's a good tip, and that's really valuable, useful information. What are a couple of other common mistakes that we might be making with our bodies and we don't even realize it?
I think the other one that happens very quickly is we've been trained eye contact, eye contact, eye contact. And if they don't look me in the eyes, they're lying. And that's really not true. Often, we can do too much eye contact to the point where it can be just downright creepy. So I like to say you want your eye contact to be consistent, but not constant. And because it's very natural to blink or look away or glance at a noise or something. And if we are just staring them down, it really makes everybody quite uncomfortable.
All right. Go ahead.
Because if you take your cues from the other person, if they like a lot of eye contact, you do it back. If they tend to look away or glance down or look up when they talk to think or something like that, go ahead and do it yourself. They're perfectly comfortable with that amount of eye contact.
All right. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody, and I like that. Take the cue from the other person. But I wanted to ask you a question because I've read somewhere that focusing on reading somebody else's body language rarely ever works. And so you're saying take a cue from the other person, but this other information that I've read says it doesn't work. So how do we reconcile those two things?
Oh, well, they're very, very different. In reading someone's body language, we might say, oh, that person's arms are crossed, and so they're closed to me. They don't want to talk to me. They don't like me. That's very different than taking your cues and saying, oh, that person, they like a lot of eye contact, so I'm going to give a lot of eye contact back. Or that person, they tend to, you know, not focus constant eye contact on me, so they'll be more comfortable if I'm not giving them too much eye contact. So it's kind of a mirror and matching thing that we do, which is very different than sort of guessing and making assumptions about the way someone is standing and saying, oh my goodness, they must be angry because they're doing that particular pose or something like that.
I got you. All right, we're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody. Sharon, are there some other nonverbal cues that I give off that make me look less intelligent or more intelligent? I am, after all, Billy the Brain. I want to look my most intelligent.
You know, the one I see most often, and I especially see it with professional athletes, is people breathing with their mouth open. It really doesn't look intelligent, especially when we're listening. Sometimes people have allergies, hay fever, things like that, to colds. Completely understand why one would want to breathe with their mouth open so they could get more oxygen, and that's why athletes do it too. But really, how many times have we seen the pro athlete on television? We're going, I don't get it. That guy runs a multi-million-dollar company besides his, you know, athletic franchise or whatever. He doesn't look very intelligent. It's because they breathe with their mouth open, and the best way to look intelligent is to breathe through your nose.
All right, breathing through the nose. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody. Now I'm going to ask you kind of a payoff question, and this is along gender lines. Is there one gender more than the other that's better at nonverbal communications, men or women?
Well, I have to say at the very beginning, yes, women tend to be better at picking up the nuances of it. But the minute a man is trained what to look for and how to use his own body language to send the right messages he's wanting to send for that situation, there is no difference. But women really tend to be, when we're coming into the classes and the group sessions, tend to be a little more intuitive and a little quicker to pick up on it.
All right. Well, now give us some examples of things that maybe women do better than men in terms of their nonverbal communication.
Well, it's not so much that they do it better. It's that they pick up on the other person's response to them and when they're in rapport with someone a little bit better. I like to say that women are much quicker to build rapport because in the listening time, they tend to nod, which tells the other person that they're being heard. And the nod is a really fun one to do. If you can't quite get rapport with someone, I suggest breaking eye contact for just a moment, looking down, and just giving a quick little nod as they talk, because that says, I'm listening.
All right. Now, but doesn't that, if you do it too much, look make you look like a bobblehead, your head's bobbing up and down?
Absolutely. It's that fine little dance between too much eye contact, the difference between consistent and constant, and it's the same with the nod. We don't want to nod too much. It's just one or two light nods of the head, and then you go back up and make eye contact. You're absolutely right. You can overdo all of the nonverbals that are in my book.
All right. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody, author of the book, What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. Now, you've trained lots and lots of people. I probably dare say hundreds, if not thousands of people, how to communicate better. In your experience working with people to become better communicators, what is the biggest hurdle that most people have to overcome?
You know, I think it's their own self-consciousness. Everyone does nonverbals, and it's okay to be ourselves at all the time. Especially when they're doing either sales presentations, job interviews, or giving a speech. They're very nervous. To just immediately what goes through their head is, what is this person going to think of me? But I guarantee you, I've seen so many times that the other person is thinking the exact same thing. And so just learning to monitor our breathing low and comfortably in all situations, and that does take practice. And then just monitoring your eye contact and what you do with your hands. And pretty much that's about all it takes.
Well, speaking of the hands, I wanted to come to that. One of the things that you write about in your book is what you call aiming gestures. And those are done with the hands. Explain what you mean by aiming gestures and what are some things we can do to control that nonverbal communication.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's one of my favorites in the book. Because it is so powerful, and I like to say it, we'll talk about it in the negative at first. How many times have you met someone and they're very upset at someone else, and they're just going off and telling you maybe somebody cut them off on the freeway, and their gestures are going radically and wild, and pretty soon you're just feeling kind of personally attacked, even though they weren't talking about you, they were talking about that crazy person on the freeway. And it's because all of that energy and those gestures were aimed right at you. So I suggest when we're talking to someone and relaying negative information that we aim our gestures away from the person. It sounds kind of strange, but just play with it as you people gesture towards you and realize that there is energy behind these gestures. And so we can make someone feel very, very good about themselves if we gesture with an upward-facing palm to them, and we're talking about the wonderful weather. We have wonderful sun here today, and I could just say, you know, gosh, isn't it wonderful outside, and doing a hand gesture, aiming right at them, and it just makes them feel wonderful, because with our hand gesture, we've assigned the word wonderful to them.
All right. Okay. So now, some of the other parts about the aiming gestures, don't aim your gestures directly at somebody, particularly if you're upset. Palms up. But there are two or three other poses with the palms that you can do that communicate something else as well, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. Palm up, a gesture, open palm, is always about relationship, sharing, asking questions, getting someone to speak more. Perhaps in a sales situation and you want them to give you more information back, using an upward-facing palm gesture will get someone to speak. The other ones that, if you're serious, use the side palm gesture. Women oftentimes use this gesture, and men misunderstand it because women will use it when they're saying, I'm serious and don't push me, I'm not open to negotiation, which is really the downward-facing palm gesture. And so there's a slight gender difference between the side palm gesture and the down palm gesture, but know that both of those, when you see them, the person that's speaking, whatever they're speaking about, is very serious to them.
All right, so the sideways palm gesture might be where I hold my hands parallel, perpendicular to the ground, but right in front of me, like I'm going to catch a ball. That would be the side palm.
Absolutely. Kind of the karate chop look.
Karate chop. Oh, that's a good way. You've been doing this for a while. All right, so the karate chop look. And women, that it denotes seriousness no matter what, but women tend to use that more than we men use the palm down, and that palm down gesture is for us serious. Don't cross me. You're reaching the edge. You're at the limit. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And oftentimes women will use a side palm gesture because they don't feel comfortable using the force, the power behind the down palm gesture. It really has a lot of stopping power behind it. And so oftentimes men will continue to debate a woman, and the woman's going, I don't get it. Why, I'm telling him I'm serious. Why isn't he believing me? Well, your hand gesture is just saying I'm serious, but I'm open to discussion. So if you're, as a woman, if you're not being taken seriously, or some guys tend to do this too, just turn the palms down when you don't want it, when it's not open to negotiation.
Interesting. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody. And Sharon, I've got grandchildren, and I'm reliving raising children again. And it's very interesting to me because grandchildren and children in general take their cues. A lot of them are nonverbal because they may not know all the words. So tell us about raising children and how important nonverbal communication is in raising good children.
Oh, it is critical in raising good children. And some of the key ones to look for, and I especially see this in teenagers, you know, something is like the eye rolling, things like that that we might see. That really means that the person, when we see eye rolling, the person doesn't feel safe to communicate. And so we want to take and be as open as we can with our children and grandchildren. And always when we're wanting to be open and have that upward palm gesture and nod when we're listening so they know we're listening to them and make that smile and facial expressions that show that you're acknowledging what they're saying, such as smiling. And you can, as you smile, it actually opens your eyes and it gives that little twinkle to a person's eyes. So, yes, children pick up on facial expressions much quicker than adults.
Yeah, they sure do. We're talking to Sharon Saylor, everybody. Her book is What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. She is an expert and authority on body language. Sharon, if people wanted to learn more about you or learn more about your book, where would you direct them?
To my website, which is whatyourbodysays.com.
What?
I have some great videos there that people can see actually what we've been talking about today.
All right, whatyourbodysays.com. And the book is What Your Body Says and How to Master the Message. We've been talking to Sharon Saylor. Thank you, Sharon, for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain.